So wanted to give you kind of just a heads up as to what's going to start happening next year. Starting next year, it's going to be super cool. We're going to start in Genesis and end at the end of time in the book of Revelations. And as a church, we're going to go through this book called The Story. Every week, we're going to take a chapter so you'll know exactly where we're at. Here's what's super cool. If somebody comes in mid-year, they can pick up chapter, 21 or whatever it is. And next year, we're going to go through the entire Bible, through the story. And this is kind of in chronological order. I mean, just think about this. Do you know kind of what's happened throughout the entire Bible? If the answer is no, then guess what? Next year, the answer is going to be yes. So next week, we just wanted to let you know about this. We're not making money on these. They're going to cost you $7. And we're going to use it the entire year. And we're super, super excited about this. Poor baby. Life sometimes is hard. So anyway, wanted you to know about that. One other thing that I want you to know about, I mean, what beautiful singing we did. But you know what? It doesn't matter at all if people don't know the Lord. Christmas Eve service is a service where you have something to do, whether you're going to be here or not. Right here is a little invite, and you can hang it on somebody's door. I do this. I'll give it to all of my neighbors. And on your way out, take some of these. The reason you have hope is so you can be filled with hope and then give hope. So I mean, I don't want to tell you because that just sounds so awful, but I'm telling you, the world has nothing to offer. And people need to know that Jesus does have something to offer. And there's a neighbor that you have. I have new neighbors that I've talked to them about church, talked to them about our church. I have new neighbors that I'm telling, yeah, I go to a really great church. Here's the thing. There's people who want to come. And you're the one who is supposed to tell them. So how easy is this? Hey, we love our church. Here's a gift for you. They're not going to say, really? Do you believe in creation? I believe in, you just say, hey, come check it out. Super, super simple. Okay. Last week in the book of Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was born, we read some scriptures, but I want to park on three of them. In Isaiah, it said this, and I kind of just summarized a little bit of this passage to point out what I want to make a point about today. It says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and his name shall be called Prince of Peace. Remember the very first Christmas? The angels came and spoke to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. Isaiah announces peace. The angels proclaim peace. Jesus lives his life here on earth, and before he goes to heaven, Jesus says these exact words: I am giving you the gift of peace, the kind of peace that only I can give. It's not the peace that the world gives. It's not a fragile peace. It's not something that is actually phony. It's peace that works. And I don't know how your week has been, but this has been a good week for me to be reminded about how much I need peace that the world can't give. Friday was a little bit of a rough day in the beginning of that, and then I thought, oh, it's going to get better in the afternoon. And then I get a phone call. Remember our friends that came and did the kids' seminar for us and taught us such beautiful principles? I got a call from my friend Keith's son-in-law, Nate, and I was riding my bike, mile 18, and Nate says, "Hey, Jim, can you pull over?" I thought, okay. He said, "I just need you to know that Keith just died. The one who came here and taught us. It's one of my best friends." And I thought, oh my. What do you do when you receive horrible news? And then you just get irritated. Not you, I did. I'm in a hurry because I want to get home because these are best friends of ours. I had to tell Sharon at work. I didn't want anyone else to tell her. So it's brutally hard. Have you ever picked up groceries at Walmart? Me too. Everything's perfect. Except for Friday. When I'm already hurting, like, oh, you don't have an order. Yes, I do. Here's a little thing that says I have an order. Exact same moment. People are texting me and all this. I think somebody hacked your Facebook. Okay. So I'm trying to change my password. The guys tell me I don't have an order at Walmart. It's super busy traffic. I've already gone through the traffic to get to the Walmart on this side of town. And then he says, "You don't have an order here." Okay. So I called Sharon and he says, "Oh yeah, the app somehow changed your order." So now that's at the Walmart on the other side of town. Have you ever felt like you just needed some peace? Like things are going to pieces? Well, then the lady next to me. I'm like, oh my gosh. I said, "Listen, I'm just going through a really hard time and I gotta get these groceries." The lady next to me says, sir, I'll go get your groceries and bring them to your house. Can I have your address?" I'm like, oh my gosh, I do not want to talk to you, lady. Thank you for being the kindest. No. Oh no, I'll do it. I'm like, oh my gosh, now I'm fighting with a lady who I don't even know because she wants to bring me my groceries. I don't want my groceries brought. I want to be sad. And now Facebook, I'm hacked. Who knows what they're putting on there in the name of the pastor? I'm thinking, oh, this is terrible. Okay, hi. It's a wonderful day, right? Sometimes you need peace. And I pull back the curtain and I say, "Lord, there's a peace the world can't give. I need the peace of God." And in the Christmas season, do you not sometimes just feel like things are going to pieces and you need peace? I want to talk about peace. If you were to like read the whole Bible, I read something this week and they said, you know, if you were to summarize all of, there's so many accounts of the Old Testament, the New Testament, the word peace. They said, if you were just to categorize it, it'd fall into three categories. Just sum it all together, you've got three categories that have to do with peace. And the first one is this, category one, peace with God. You might call that spiritual peace. It's super important because it affects everything else. Jesus came to restore peace with you and God. In Romans, it says this, "He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God." See, why do we need that? Because you're not going to have peace in what you do. You're going to only have peace in what he's done. Peace with God comes from what Jesus did. I love as it goes on in Romans chapter 5. It says, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us." You know what we did Friday? We cried and just kind of just needed the Lord. Needed the Lord to kind of recalibrate our equilibrium. I mean, everyone's annoyed, right? I mean, you have something that doesn't go right, you know. I mean, but there's some times where you just feel like you just kicked harder than other times. We need peace with God. I mean, that's what Christmas is all about. That's why I'm encouraging you, pass out these little invites. It's a super non-threatening, easy way for you and me to say, you can find hope. And it's in Jesus. You know, think about this for just a moment. Remember when the wise men came to see baby Jesus in Bethlehem, and it says they brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh? What's with that? I mean, it's not like those are like cool Fisher Price little toys that you would give an infant. Why would you give a baby myrrh? Well, I'll tell you why. Myrrh is an embalming spice. You would be given this to represent death and burial. You used it in burial in the times of Jesus. I mean, what were they saying? They were saying that this baby came to die. He came to die for you. He came to die for me so that we can have peace in the midst of this world that seems like has less peace than it's ever had. Are things not in chaos? Every day there's more chaos. So how do you not go to pieces and find peace? You lean in to a relationship with God. Here's another type of peace. You get peace with God, then something happens. You can find peace within. I wrote it down like this. Emotional peace. Peace for the soul. You could call it the peace of God. Now, catch this real quick here. I'm going to say it. When I have peace with God, I can receive the peace of God inside of me. When I have peace with God, I can have the peace of God. So when I talked to my friend Chris yesterday, I wanted to text her. You know how hard it is when somebody passes away and they're close and you don't know what to say? I've been a pastor for all these years and I'm like, I can't text her. But if I call her, I mean, what do you say? And I called her and I said, oh, Chris, I love you. I didn't even think you would answer. She said, the second I saw it was you, I grabbed my phone. And you know what we talked about was just how much we love her. And then we prayed. We prayed for the peace of God. Where do you find that in this world? Nowhere. You've got to know God and then God gives you his peace. In Colossians, it says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. This is something way, way deep within. Way deep within. In the midst of tragedy, we agreed in prayer on phone and on the phone and could sense the presence of God. And this week, on Thursday, I have an honor, terrible honor, to put to rest one of my closest friends. So when I talk to you about getting the peace of God, it's not, Jim, you're a pastor, it should just happen. No, I need the peace of God. And so do you. And that is a gift that we can receive this Christmas. But you've gotta make it right with God. Then you're able to make it right with you. In the Bible, you've heard this word maybe. It's an Old Testament word. It's a word in the Hebrew, and it's the word shalom. Right, it's a biblical word. The Bible wasn't written in English. It's translated into English. It was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and in the New Testament, Greek. And it's too bad because there's words that they use that we just don't understand quite the depth and the context. Like the word shalom, it means well-being. It means an internal happiness. It means harmony. It means serenity. It's a true peace in the midst of a storm. It brings calm. God says, I want you to take my shalom with you. So there's a third kind of peace. It's peace with others, right? If I can have peace with God, then I can make peace with me. It makes me easier to enjoy peace with you. It's relational peace. I mean, here's the reality. You want a better marriage? Then you get close to God, your spouse gets close to God, and if you two are truly seeking God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, your marriage is gonna get better. Now, I'm a little vulnerable today, so I'm gonna be super honest with you. Normally, I'd be a little bit more refrained. One of the things I hate to do to church people is become a liar. But that's sometimes what I am. Just being honest. People come to me and they're whining about all their problems, and I want to be sincere and listen and understand. But are you praying? No. Are you reading your Bible? No. You show up one out of three Sundays? Yes. You're not praying. You're not doing what God wants you to do. How do you expect things to go well? And so I say this, oh, I'm sorry. Inside, I'm saying, it's never going to work. But Jim, how do you tell them that? Because they're just going to get mad at you. Thank you. I feel the love from one and the hate from others. Let it spin in the room. But come on, friends. You know, if your car's out of gas and somebody says to you, I'll pay for you to get gas in there, but you got to put gas in there, and then you get mad at them, you're still out of gas. And this world, it seems to give us a synthetic reality that we actually think works, and it doesn't work. And then we don't have the peace of God, and then we're so stressed out. We can't even function. Like, I'm so stressed out, I can't come to church. Oh, well, that makes perfect sense to me. That's where you should go. It's like saying, oh, my God, my car's out of gas. I can't go to the gas station. I can't put gas in my car. Okay. Think about this. God came so you could have peace with him and that you could have peace with you. He doesn't want you to be always depressed. He never expected you to always be anxious. He never anticipated that you would carry the weight of the world. But we do that because we're not drilling into what makes a life. We drill into what makes a living. And I can tell you something about my good buddy Keith. He drilled into how to make a life, and that's why a lot of people are going to be crying this week. A lot of people are going to be crying. I remember he was going to get a promotion. He says, Jim, I'm not taking it. I'm like, why? It's like more money. And he said, Jim, I love my family, and this would take me away from doing my family thing. I'm not doing it. He had absolute priorities. And Sharon and I were talking. I said, why does it hurt so bad that a friend died? We should be happy as in heaven. And Sharon said, Jim, it hurts so bad because he actually made a difference in this world for the kingdom of God. And I said, oh, no wonder this is so painful. Because he actually lived what he believed. And it was noticed by others. Friends, there's a time coming when you just can't do casual Christianity. Because our world is spinning out of control. And if you don't have a solid relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to struggle more than you ever have. I'm just being honest with you. You need to have shalom. And the more out of whack you are with where God wants you, the more out of whack your relationships are going to be. The further you are away from God, the more cranky you are with those people around you who love you. I know that to be true. All right, let me just back up to something I said. If you ever want to come to me and talk to me about something hurting, I'm not in my mind thinking you're whining. But could you do something for me? Could you say, Pastor Jim, right now are you being as absolutely honest as you can be with me? You can do that. Pastor Jim, are you just kind of trying to coddle me along because so I don't get mad at you? You can ask me that. I love you guys so much. I pray for you. I want to be your pastor. I mean, what an honor it is. But come on. You have got to get it right with God. And not just, I mean, you believe in God, but do you know that God believes in you? Is your identity just wrapped up in the things of this world, or is your identity wrapped up in how God sees you? It matters. Man, I'm like a preacher. You are wired to have a relationship with God. It matters so much. And the root cause of so many problems in people's lives is because they think they've got it better than God created it. That's the problem. We want to do it our way or society's way instead of God's way. I love what Isaiah says. This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is good for you and leads you along the path that you should follow. Oh, that you would have listened to my commands. Then you would have had peace flowing like a gentle river and righteousness rolling over you like the waves in the sea. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He came to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men. Jesus said this. This is one of my favorite scriptures. In Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I did that. Like this week, I mean, I could care less about the Walmart stuff. I mean, it was just on top of, I'm so stressed out because someone who I really, really love just died and their whole family's in shock. This is what Jesus said, Jim, come to me. You're weary and you carry a heavy burden and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle at heart and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy to bear and my burden I give you is light. I mean, it's so crazy. A lot of people think, well, if I really accept Jesus, there's more rules, more regulations, more rituals. Okay. Really? Okay. So let's talk about that for a minute. Jesus said, I'm going to give you rest for your soul. Your soul. That thing deep within you that causes you to be in pieces and panicking. Jesus says, I'm going to give you rest for that. Friends, how many things do we try to do for rest? And they're not bad things. I mean, like go to a movie. I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to eat good. And hey, I'm going to take a vacation. And you know, hey, you know, I'm just going to kind of chill online and watch, 17 hours of TikTok. Or, I'm just going to kind of, vet, I'm on Instagram. And I mean, we can do all these things. None of those are wrong. I loved riding, 23 miles on Friday on my bike. It felt so good, but it doesn't restore my soul. Do you understand the difference? You can go to Disneyland, you can go to Tahiti, you can do whatever that thing is you want to do, but it's not going to restore your soul. And we take the synthetic of this world and actually think it's going to produce something organic in us, and it doesn't work. Right? You know, the food that's expensive, it's from what? From the ground to the table kind of things. Hey, let's buy organic. Why? Because there's no pesticides. Everything we do in life is a pesticide if it keeps you away from the thing that really matters to give you peace in your soul. I'm blown away. Did you know that church is the place where you can get COVID the most? Did you know that? Because there's people who do everything in the world outside of church, but they can't come to church. Oh, and I just made some people mad. And it's okay if you're mad at me. I care about your soul. I care about your priorities. Because one day you're going to do my funeral, I'm going to probably do your funeral. And you know what I know about this Thursday? I don't have to lie. I don't have to say, well, he's a good guy. No, he wasn't. You got to make him, And I'm not saying that about you, but come on. When I die, I want somebody to cry. Not because, thank goodness he's gone, but because he actually made a difference in my life. He was honest and told me the truth. We live in a synthetic society. They don't tell the truth. Wow, Jim, you're like, my sweater could burst in flames at any moment. Listen, friends, when you're empty, when I felt so robbed and empty on Friday, the world, the culture, Jim, you just need to have more stuff. You just need to do more. You need to go more. You need, and Jesus says, wait. Could you just come to me? And I want to give you rest in your soul. It's not predicated upon what's going on around you. It's not going to matter what things are happening, the dynamics of society or my own life. What's going to matter is I'm connecting with God Almighty, the Prince of Peace. And Jesus knew I was mad, had a bad attitude with Walmart, and didn't even like the lady trying to be nice to me. You know what he says to me? Jim, come to me just how you are. And that's good enough. That's good enough. You know, the antidote to an overloaded soul, it's not time management skills. It's not just a new philosophy, a new adaptation of the things of this world. It's not an escape. And how many things do we do to escape our reality? It's not a better plan. Check this out. It's a person. His name is Jesus Christ. He came and was born during Christmas time. The Prince of Peace. If I could sum up everything, here's how I would do it this morning. Come to Jesus. Make him your Savior. That's where it starts. then connect with Jesus. You know when he says, take my yoke upon you, it's like, what, are you going to dump an egg on me? It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, you know, livestock, two cattle holding something so one doesn't have to do it alone. What Jesus is saying is, yoke up with me. You weren't meant to plow through all the stuff in this world on your own. I am your God, and I want to share the load. Yoke up with me. Let both of us pull the wagon. Friends, that's what I had to do on Friday. That's what we had to do yesterday. We prayed for our friends. We prayed, Jesus, come alongside them. Jesus, touch their family. Seven kids and all kinds of grandkids. Jesus, touch them. Touch them. That's not a prayer out of weakness. That's a prayer out of strength. Because I know that Jesus actually can make a difference. And nothing in this world can. Come to him, connect with him, and this is a big one, continue to grow in him. Too many people come to know the Lord, grow in the Lord for 2 or 3 years, and then stay the same and never keep growing. It's a tragedy that the devil does that to us. Just ask yourself, take a little assessment. How have you done this year different from last year? Have you grown in your faith? I mean, like, I love you to pieces, even though it might not sound like it today. I really do. I prayed for you that God would bless you early this morning, that God would pour his love out upon you. But you're going to give an account to him one day. Are you getting closer to him? That's on you, right? It's not on me. I'll help you. But you got to do this. And friends, ask me this question. I don't mind if you ask me about my prayer life. I don't mind if you ask me about my Bible reading. I don't mind if you ask me about my thought life. I don't mind it. I want to grow. I want to continue to have a relationship with the Lord that's not stagnant and looking backwards and going, well, the good old days. The good old days are dead. This is a new day that God wants to use you and me for his glory. Okay, one last verse. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and whose thoughts are fixed on you. Just think about that. It's talking about God Almighty, the creator of everything, not some synthetic, you know, infusion into our life. It's the real, raw deal right here. He will keep in perfect peace all who trust him, all who think towards him. It's a gift of peace. You're not meant to live life under stress, fear, anxiety, worry, all of these things that could plague you for the rest of your life. You were made for the peace of God. I'm going to pray a prayer right now. And it's a prayer I'm going to ask you if you want me to include you in. You don't have to, like, raise your hand and go, oh, okay, me, or, you know, or say, him, he need, or her. You can just say in your heart, yeah, Lord. Lord, you know my heart. And I'm going to pray a prayer of peace. And I'm not ashamed of anything I've said today. I want you to know the Lord. And while my Friday was really hard, my life is still solid. While my Thursday is going to rip my heart out, my Savior is going to be right there to put it back together. My anchor has never shifted, even though life is a slippery slope and we don't know what's coming tomorrow. And I can tell you why. I have asked Jesus to come into my heart and to forgive me of my sins. I have tried to yoke up with him. And for many, many years, I have tried to grow in him. I've not always done well, and you know me well enough to know that I'm not perfect and never claim to be. So I'm going to pray for peace for me as just at the same time I pray for peace for you. God, you know what we're thinking. And God, maybe there's some others here who would say with me, God, I need your peace. God, maybe there's someone here who's never made their relationship right with you. And they need to accept you as their Savior. God, I pray that we would do that right now. Lord, we confess we're sinners. And that you want to not only forgive us, but to give us a life. So Lord, I pray if someone has never accepted you, that they would accept you. We're not going to heaven without you. There's no way to do it. And not only would we come to you, Lord, I pray that we would connect to you. I just sense in my heart, I'm not the only one who's had a struggle. I'm not the only one who's had to wrestle with the things in this life. Lord, we need to connect to you and we need to yoke up with you. God, I pray for someone right now who doesn't have peace, and it's not because you don't want to give it to them. It's because they have enjoyed the synthetic things of this world and have neglected you. Too much time with screen time, too much time with busy time, too much time trying to be more important with work, and all the time, no peace in their heart. Struggle with relationships. I pray, oh God, that we would today begin to have priorities that put you first. We want to have peace with you, but we need to have peace in us because of you. And Lord, I pray for the friends here that they have been Christians way too long to stay where they're at, to stay in the same mode that they're at. Lord, you want leaders. My friend Keith is with you. Now we need someone to replace Keith. We need somebody to step up and do the kind of things that Keith did. God, there's people who need to replace Keith at Hope Church. You have called us, but because of our insecurities, we've decided, no, I can't do it. Somebody else will. And then the world reels in pain and people are going to hell. God Almighty, Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, we need you. Come into our lives, help our relationships, help us to strive for you that we might find peace in our soul. Last thing I'm going to do is just say, if there's any part of that prayer you said, Pastor, thanks for praying for me. Just with your eyes shut, just raise your hand up and go, Pastor, you prayed for me today. All right, thank you. I'm going to not only pray for you today, I'm going to pray for you more this week. I love you so much. I care about Hope Church. You're very important to me. Very important to me. I'm going to pray for you. I want to bless you. God, thank you. Thank you for obedience, not to me, but to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing one more song.